This is WordPress Weekly, the show dedicated to all things WordPress. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Sarah Gooding.
Welcome to episode 152 of WordPress Weekly for Friday, June 20th, 2014. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by Sarah Gooding. Sarah, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic because it's Friday.
Wonderful.
And if I had that song, I'd play the Friday song and annoy everyone, but we're not going to do that. You made it through Friday the 13th just fine, so that's good. You know, there's a full moon that night.
Yeah, I saw it.
So let's see. We got a lot of things to get to in this show, talk about some of the news of the week, and then we're going to talk to one of the youngest people who has ever been on the show that I've ever interviewed on WordPress Weekly, so we'll see how that goes. Possibly the next generation of WordPress developers. We'll see. One of the first stories we want to get to this week is that WordPress Trunk, which is a like bleeding edge development version of WordPress, has added a new beta testing tab to the plugin screen. Sarah, you wrote about this earlier this week. How does this work?
Well, if you install the WordPress, you know, if you're on Trunk or if you're using like the WordPress beta tester plugin, you'll be able to navigate to the plugin screen, and there's a new tab that says beta testing where they've got all the plugins that are ready for people to try to break. So you can go and quickly install those instead of having to search them individually. And, just keep yourself in the know without having to follow all the development blogs.
I think this is a great idea. I'm surprised that it wasn't already thought of, already implemented in WordPress. This just blends in well with the whole beta testing process. I mean, you're already probably using a dev version or beta version of WordPress, so it's just a convenience factor to have all those plugins right here and also test with WordPress. I mean, it's just a great idea.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And I also saw that, according to Nason, there's a possibility that a development tab may be offered in the future that lists plugins like debug bar and log deprecated notices, which would also be nice. It almost sounds like you could sort of create or tailor a specific sort of beta testing version or dev version of WordPress where, you know, you have all these different tools that helps you really test everything out, which is just a neat concept.
Really handy. I hope he has the time to add that in, and people definitely benefit from it, especially new developers for WordPress who don't know what development tools are out there.
Mm-hmm. So last week, we actually had one of the developers on from VersionPress. They launched a campaign last week, and VersionPress utilizes Git for version control in WordPress, and not just regular version control through Git, but actually integrates tightly with the database. So you could, the idea being that you could undo specific changes in a database without having to roll back the entire site to a specific point in time, which I think is just a killer idea. I'm really excited about it. And the question at the time last Friday was whether or not their plugin would be open sourced, either GPL or with a compatible license to GPL. And they've since announced that the plugin will be 100% GPL licensed. So that's pretty neat. That's pretty cool. It's the same license that WordPress has, so the same freedoms that everybody is afforded through the license through the GPL will be passed on to those who use the plugin. And let me take a look here and see if what the amount is on their campaign level. And holy smokes, let me tell you. Last week, when everything was in the unknown, they only had about less than 10%. It was only $2,000 or $3,000 worth of funding. Right now, they are 37% funded with $10,000, almost $11,000, with 10 days left to the end of June to reach their funding goal of $30,000. So,
wow.
So that just tells you the sort of mindset and mentality of the community, where if you're not going to go with an open source license, and this sort of gets into a gray area, but essentially aligning your values and the plugins and everything else with the GPL, the same values that WordPress has, is beneficial to you with the project. And I think a lot of people were holding off on funding this project based on having an unclear direction on what the license would be. But that doesn't seem to be an issue anymore. So we chatted with the VersionPress folks, and as I mentioned last week, I'm very excited about this plugin. I haven't felt this way about a plugin since I saw a demonstration of GraviForms back in 2009 at WordCamp Chicago. And even though I haven't played with this plugin, I haven't seen it in action. It's just in the prototype stage. It's just the idea, the concept, and the different things that sort of opens up for version control for the masses, you know, makes it easy. I just think it's an incredible idea, and I would love to see it funded and be able to play around with a final version. Now, Sarah, I know you have used Git, I think, to do version control with your projects, maybe with your themes. What do you think of this idea of version control for the masses via the data, you know, not just files, but also the database?
Well, I think it's a really creative use. It'd be really cool to see that available for WordPress. I don't know how, you know, everyday users are going to be able to, are going to take to it, though. You know, they may not have as much interest as we think they might.
Right.
But I know a lot of developers will enjoy using it.
And I think one of the keys, and that's a great point, I think one of the keys of this plugin is the UI, the user interface, but also being able to show the user, be more specific and show more information about actually what is happening, what the changes are in the database, instead of so-and-so with this unique ID change and so-and-so, and you have no idea what's actually going on, what you're changing, what you're reverting back to. I think that's going to be a challenge. So I hope they add detailed information and are very specific in terms of the revisions and the things that are changing in the database so that it's more clear to the user. And if they do that, plus the user interface, I think it'll be neat to see how they pull that off. But the WordPress menu customizer, there's a preview going around. It's an alpha plugin ready for testing. Sarah, you wrote about this. It's a plugin created by Nick Halsey, and it looks like it's part of his Google Summer of Code 2014 project.
Yeah, it's taking the menus and putting them in the customizer. Not to customize like what they look like necessarily, but to change around the order of menu items and to to put the menu in the right location that the theme offers. And let's see, I think it allows you to create new menu items and delete them, and then you'll be able to like live preview how your menus are updating right there in front of you.
And I think one of the great points you brought up in the article is, what if you have, let's say, all these menu items, and especially like a drop-down menu item that has maybe 10 items. Right now, it looks like it's just the UI and the way things are displayed. There's going to have to be some changes made to accommodate all those menu items.
Yeah, I think that is a concern, because some really long menus can get difficult to navigate in that narrow window of the customizer. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with it. It's really in the alpha stages, and I think he's going to get a lot of feedback from core people who work on the UI stuff. So hopefully, you know, it'll all come together to work in a way that doesn't look chaotic.
And what about the issue you brought up where it's sort of, you can use the menu customizer to change around your menu items, you know, for the front of your site, but then you would have to go into different parts of the back end of WordPress to change other things that deal with the front end of your site. Does that seem clunky or non-intuitive?
Well, I mean, that's one of the reasons for putting the menus in the customizer. Because, you know, normally, like, you activate a theme, and then you see that you can change the background color and some other stuff, but, like, the menus, you have to go back to your dashboard and rearrange those, and then go back to the front end and refresh. And so it kind of makes sense to put them right into the customizer with widgets and everything else.
And menus are a piece of presentation that goes with the theme, so it just makes sense to throw them in the customizer.
Yeah.
So you have the current theme customizer, which allows you to do a live preview of changes for your website. You have widgets that have been added to the live preview, the customizer, potentially menus, and now at some point, whether it's going to use the customizer or not, it looks like at some point WordPress will have some sort of front-end editor to make live changes on the site to specifically for content.
Mm-hmm.
What's your What's your take on this trend or possibly the goal of all this functionality built right into the customizer? Is that a good thing, or should we, you know, limit the scope of what we should be shoving in there?
I don't know. I mean, I think as long as we limit it to things that can be customized on the front end, then, you know, people love the live previews. They love that kind of experience while they're working. So I think it should work out okay. I mean, it's all kind of coming together once we get that front-end content editor. It'll be, like you said, you know, no difference between the back-end and front-end of WordPress when you're writing content or, you know, customizing the front-end. You can just stay there, the front-end, the whole time.
And that's what I'm looking forward to the most. The more I can stay out of the back end and accomplish most of my tasks on the front, the better.
Yeah.
So that'll be great. And so
especially if your back end is slow.
Well, yeah, we're not definitely that. So the next post you wrote, it's a great story, and talks about an incredibly important issue about WordPress themes and how they suck at accessibility and how it's time to fix it. And you detailed a theme and sort of a project by Morten Rand Hendrickson, who released the Simone theme based on the Underscores framework. That's the one it automatic maintains. Basically, handles all the things you would want in an accessible, ready theme, and actually is one of the very few themes that has the accessibility ready tag within the theme directory. And this is a great post because it sort of illustrates, I mean, I was very surprised about the number where Rand Hendrickson said that, you know, his calculation was that a dismal 0.5% of themes had the accessibility ready tag. And for whatever reason, you know, I and I'm guilty of this as well, accessibility is treated as a bonus feature. It's not the number one priority for, it seems like, many developers. And apparently, as you mentioned in the article, this is, accessibility is law in some parts of the world, and I'm wondering, when is it going to be law here in the U.S.? I think it'll start with government websites or organization-type websites will have to be, you know, there'll probably be a law passed where those have to be accessible, but the conclusion I have is that until it becomes law, it seems like that's what will sort of force developers to take a closer look and consider accessibility a priority versus just pushing it off.
Yeah, I think it's coming to Europe right now, mostly the laws that are mandating websites to have accessibility and to meet those basic guidelines. So I don't know when it's going to hit the U.S., but it might be a rude awakening if we do indeed have those laws, you know, put on us and we're not ready. So, you know, WordPress can do a lot to change how accessible the entire web is, given that it powers, you know, what, 22-23% of websites on the web. So if we're able to get accessibility, if we're able to, you know, make that a priority, then we can really influence, you know, how many people can have access to content on the web. So it would be great if we could, you know, make it easier for developers to build this into themes, because themes are the delivery point for accessibility for WordPress for the most part. So
And I think to have the most, the quickest way to have the most impact on this issue is going to be at the gates of the WordPress.org theme repository, where I think at some point they're just going to have to be stringent, where it may even get to the point where the accessibility tag, you know, themes that are submitted to the repo will have to be accessible to the point where they qualify for that tag, or else you cannot be approved in the directory. I don't know.
Well, that's what he's calling for. Like, that's what he wants to have happen. But, you know, it's tough. While that would be really, really great for accessibility, the WordPress.org themes directory is run by a bunch of volunteers. So, and they have, like, one guy who is devoted to reviewing themes that come in for the accessibility tag. So, you know, it would just stop the approval process. It would just grind to a halt. You know, like, we wouldn't be able to get themes approved as fast. So it's a tough situation because it needs to be improved, but at the same time, you know, people are just volunteering their free time to help make, you know, themes work and help approve them and make sure that they're not full of spammy code. And, you know, it's kind of tough. So he's trying to make everyone aware that these things are coming down the line and we need to be ready for it. And so I think it's just good for discussion to get it out there.
Yeah, and he basically says near the end of the article, you know, we have an opportunity now to get ahead of the game. I mean, obviously, in a perfect world, it would be great if everybody had accessibility as the number one priority already. But he basically paints a picture that if, you know, with laws kicking in many places later this year, that owners running WordPress on their sites, and this even goes for WordPress.com sites, that if, as a community, if we don't embrace accessibility now, we will quickly paint ourselves into a corner that'll be hard to escape from. And I just wonder. I think once the laws kick in, that's going to be finally. That's when everyone's going to say, "Oh yeah, well I guess I better make this accessible because it's the law."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard to make people care outside of that. It's hard to make people even read an article about accessibility. I mean, you have to have kind of an attention-getting title because people seriously just don't care about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so hopefully that attitude changes and we can get more people on board here before we start seeing people in handcuffs because they have non-accessible websites. Excuse me, sir. In the back of the cruiser. It's not accessible. Hopefully we don't see. No, and I asked on Twitter, I just said, you know, I wonder when the U.S. are going to have laws to make every site, you know, every site is going to have to be, like, accessible or something to that effect. And I had a couple questions, responses on Twitter saying, you know, they don't think that would ever happen because they consider that far overreaching. And I don't know, you know, with this government in place in the U.S., I don't put anything past being crazy enough not to be put into law.
Yeah, but it is kind of crazy, though. Like, it would be like the government demanding that you make your home wheelchair accessible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, accessible for everyone.
Yeah, so that, you know, that would be tough for a lot of people. And, you know, for personal blogs and that kind of thing, you know, are you going to force people to do that if they want to have a personal blog on the internet, or are you going to let them choose? So I
hope it doesn't come to that, but at the same time, if there's not already laws in place, I do support something like that for government websites or organization-type websites from the government, mm-hmm. nonprofits. I think that's where it makes the most sense, not on the general population, force that kind of accessibility requirements.
Right.
Because that's pretty much how it is for physical public spaces, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem with that. So hopefully at some point in the future, there will be more accessibility-ready themes on WordPress. The community as a whole will pay more heedance and attention to the subject, and overall just a great article that brings up the issue. And it looks like a lot of great feedback in the comments as well. So I encourage everybody listening to read those as well, because comments still matter. And that's where the true gold of the internet is, if you didn't hear me and Marcus preaching about comments last week on the show. Definitely go back and take a listen. So we have a special guest on the show today. He is extra special as a 15-year-old can be. His name is Nick, and he is the founder and developer of TechVaults, techvaults.com. He's a U.S.-based WordPress developer in the Minnesota area. And Nick, thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Jeff. It's my pleasure to be here.
A little bit of light there from Minnesota, but
dang.
Look at that. You're famous already. Somebody else wants to interview you. So tell us a little about, first of all, happy birthday, Nick, because I know you were originally 14 about a week ago, and now you're 15, so congratulations.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Yes, I just turned 15.
And I would play the happy birthday song for you, but it's copyrighted, and I don't want to go to court.
Yeah, you'd want to go against the law, right?
No, I don't want to go against the law if I haven't made that clear yet. So this is fantastic. It's really cool to have you. Maybe the youngest person ever on WordPress Weekly. I think this is cool. I think you'll have a unique perspective on what's going on in this land we call WordPress. How did you get involved with WordPress and PHP programming in general?
So do you want me to start all the way back to where I found WordPress first? Should we start there?
Yeah, sure. How did you come across it?
So it started with, I think I found like Wiki Spaces or something, and I was really interested. I think it was at school even that we were talking about Wiki Spaces, And I'm like, man, this is so much fun. It's like creating Wikipedias and websites and stuff like that. So it kind of went up from there. I was looking at different, you know, platforms for making websites. And eventually, I came across WordPress.com. And, you know, I played around with that a little bit, and I was really excited. And then I saw, you know, WordPress.org, too, on top of that later on, maybe like a month after I found WordPress.com. And I'm like, wow, this, I found cheap hosting and something like that, and I set up WordPress.org, and I just started playing with it. It was mostly just installing plugins. I wasn't a programmer at all at that time, and I did not want to touch code at all, but it just went kind of from there. I was playing with, like, BuddyPress, I remember, BBPress, you know, all the cool plugins at the time, all the ones that are the highest rated, I should say. And so eventually, it was just like that for a while. It was like for a long time. I had a WordPress like website for a good year before I actually got into the WordPress community. And one day, you know, I was just kind of exploring the WordPress community, and I found WordCamps, actually. I don't know how I stumbled across it. I wish I remembered, but I stumbled across the WordCamp website. I was like, wow, this is like a super duper thriving community. And then I saw like Twitter and stuff and all that part of the community. And it was really amazing to me to see, you know, I didn't really know a lot about WordPress at the time. So seeing all of that made me really impressed and stuff. And so a few months after I, you know, found out about the community more, I went to my first WordCamp, and that was Minneapolis 2013. And I had a blast there. I met so many great people. I met someone who was my mentor the summer after the event. And I think that was my real time where I'm like, okay, this is such a great community, and I want WordPress to be my hobby, basically, at the time, was how it was going.
So WordPress.com is actually your gateway into the free open source project we know as WordPress.
It is. And I had so much fun with that. I was like, man, this is the most amazing like platform I've ever seen. And I tried all the different things out there, and I was like, WordPress really is like the only thing that, you know, I like, I should say. I didn't really like the other ones. They were still cool, but they didn't fascinate me as much as WordPress.
So what else did you try? Like Tumblr and
yes,
Blogger.
Blogger, yep. Wix, is that what it's called? Yeah, I think so. I can't remember all of them, but and then like WikiSpaces, like later I was like, phew, WikiSpaces. Oh, Google Sites. If there was anything that was my competition, it was Google Sites. It was like, do I want that or do I want WordPress.com? Luckily I chose WordPress.com, or else I wouldn't be here. Because Google Sites was pretty cool too, I would say. But
So it's interesting because usually on all these interviews, you'll hear them say, how did you get involved in programming? And they say, whoa, way back when, I bought an Apple II or I bought a Commodore 64. No, not you, Nick.
No, that's not how it went down at all. All right, so it was through the mentorship that I told you I'd found a mentor after WordCamp Minneapolis. And he was just kind of like, I was telling him that I want to play around with WordPress more and stuff. And I think at that time I also wanted to have like a business around setting up WordPress blogs or something like that. I was thinking about that. And so he was kind of helping me out. And then like slowly he started bringing up programming. He's like, why don't you try, you know, something to do with plugins or themes or play around, check the code, CSS, HTML. And then it was probably June of last year he gave me Code Academy. And I had a really fun time with that. I was like, man, it's so, you know, PHP is awesome. JavaScript is awesome. But even though I kind of thought that, I wasn't really interested in coding. So I'm like, I'll have these in the back of my head if I ever need them to tweak themes or something like that, if that was going to be my business. And so
I find that fascinating that you're at the age of 14, you're thinking about WordPress, yep. And yet you're already thinking WordPress and business. You're already thinking you want to have a business. I mean, it's...
That was very interesting how it just kind of like, I don't know why, I just wanted to see what I could do there and start my own business. I think that was kind of in the back of my mind. But then when I saw like WordPress, I'm like, I could make money with this, right? I could do something here.
Man, you pick up quick, man.
It was, yeah. So And then it was like June and July, I was like convincing myself, like, do I want to go into the coding business or something else? And my mentor was kind of pushing me. He's like, you know, you should probably try coding because, you know, you'll never know, like, because I hadn't built a theme or anything at the time. And so eventually it was probably late July-ish of middle July of last year that I actually sat down and I was like, all right, time to write my own WordPress plugins. And I did some tutorials. And after that, funny enough, I was like, nope, see ya, I'm out. No coding for me.
Now, wait a minute. Did you base your first WordPress plugin, did you look inside Hello Dolly? I'm just curious.
You want to know something, Jeff?
Yeah.
The first time I've ever looked inside Hello Dolly was January of this year.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just wondering because that the entire purpose of Hello Dolly in WordPress is it's a great starting point for those maybe wanting to know how WordPress works
right.
or tinker with it. So I was just wondering.
I never had to look at it until January of this year because I wanted to try something based off of the plugin.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the first time. I'd never tried it before. My first WordPress plugin was from a tutorial on lynda.com, and I didn't like dig into the code. I was just watching someone write the code and I'd follow along and like I think was it yeah, Chris Corrier, I think there was some stuff in there for themes and then something for plugins. And I really wasn't like digging in code that was written because I was like, you know, I looked at like I don't remember Contact Form 7 or BuddyPress and I'm like, whoa, overwhelming here, and I didn't really want to look at it. I wanted to start really small to like the tutorials and stuff. And after that, funny enough, I was just like, you know what? I really can't. I don't like code at all. Like after that first experience, that like there was like a theme I was building, and it was just frustrated me because I'm like, you know, I can't achieve the same thing as the instructor had, and it was really getting on my nerves at that point. And then you know, like late July, I was going back and forth. Still, I was like, maybe I do want to try this. Maybe I just didn't do it correctly. Maybe I didn't start. Maybe I started too fast. And then, in the end, like, August 1st, I think that was the date, I decided, oh, seriously? Give me a second, Jeff.
Oh, boy. So, as he answers the phone, because I think that's a client calling him, actually.
Nope. I'm sorry. There's something going on. I don't know, like, marketers or something probably calling every five. I turned it off now. I forgot to do that before. Anyways, it was very early August that I finally sat down with a theme, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna try the whole child theme because I haven't even done like HTML and CSS that heavily at that point. And I'm like, I'm just gonna build a child theme, and I actually had a blast with that. I was like, you know, I like doing this at my own pace. It was really fun. It was really a great experience for me. And you know, my mentor was like really excited because then he's like, oh yeah, maybe you do, you know, maybe the code is for you. Like, you know, it was all great and it all kind of worked out like that. And then from there, it just kind of went up and up and up. And soon I was like building my own theme. I think I played around with Genesis at that point too a little bit. And it was like, I don't know, like a discovery phase kind of thing. I just like, whoa, plugins, themes. I was like all for it. And then, you were going to say something, Jeff?
No, I was just saying your experience of sort of developing WordPress is sort of similar to my experience of using WordPress, where I don't know a lick of code, ended up wanting to use WordPress for a specific site, went inside the theme editor, started messing around, you know, back in those days, back when I was your age, WordPress plugins came with directions that says, okay, here's a function or here's a hook. You have to go in this file, in this line, and apply it, which, oh boy, we've come a long way since those days. But that's how I discovered, you know, when I first started editing code like that in WordPress, I thought, man, this is crazy. I can't, this makes no sense. I'm editing PHP. I don't know PHP. But the second time around, I discovered, wait a second, I'm not editing huge chunks of PHP files. These are actually functions with parameters, and it's not as hard as I thought it would be. And after that, I says, you know, I had the light bulb moment, and I've had the WordPress bug ever since.
Right. And I kind of went with the code from there. Like, I was like, yeah, coding. You know, it's time. I think I wanted to try it a little more at my own pace and teach myself. I think that's like how most teenagers actually do it for, you know, some stuff that they learn, even at school and stuff. So, and then come September, you know, I go back to school and stuff, and I think there my, you know, development went a little bit more down, and I was like, you know, I don't have as much time to build themes and plugins for fun with schoolwork and stuff. So I tried something a little different, because just around that time where I went back to school, this track post came up called Call for, like, Inline Documentation for WordPress. And I was like, you know, maybe I should check this out. Maybe, you know, I was thinking about the, like, WordPress core. What is WordPress core? And then, you know, I started following the standards and stuff, and slowly but surely I wrote inline docs for an entire file in WordPress core, submitted it, and got props for it. And it was really awesome. Like, the, you know, they would tell you what was wrong, they'd give you some revisions, and it was really great. And it was, you know, and that was, it was only a month after I'd learned, like, my first programming, like, or after I'd started programming. But inline docs is a little bit easier, I think. Not always, but it is sometimes just write documentation. And then I was writing documentation a little bit too, because I just wanted, like, I still wanted to do something WordPress related, but it was hard with, like, the beginning of the school year to do it all the time. So I was doing, like, documentation, inline docs, and I contributed to some projects on GitHub. And it was just, it was a real blast. I had a great time with all of that, and I was coding away all the time, you know, even when I wasn't making big things, you know. And in the end, I got props for 3.9 and 3.7. 3.8, I was, like, lazy, but...
Now, going back to contributing via inline docs and getting props and going through the process that so many other people go through when they would tell you something's not right or something's wrong.
Right.
How did you take that? How did you take that sort of rejection that, oh, it's just not right, or what's going on? Were you okay with that? I mean, obviously you worked through that, but what was that experience like?
I think it was, actually, I liked that, because I was like, you know, I see what I did wrong, because I understood how important WordPress core is. Like, you can't submit a doc that has an improper doc block or something, and that could, like, do something crazy with the code, right? And also I wanted it to be good because, you know, it's for the developers and it's inline docs. And so I was okay with it because I was like, you know what, it's important. Core is important. It's what runs the very back end of WordPress, right? So I was fine with that. I really was.
Awesome, because we know we hear so many people that go through the process that you did, new contributors, and they get that rejection that, you know, this is wrong, or, you know,
right.
And sometimes they have such a hard time dealing with that, you know, that's their first and last time of contributing to WordPress.
Oh, yeah, I was completely fine with that. I really was. And I understand some people just don't like that because, you know, so I think it was a couple of files that I had where it was like inline docs are easier, of course, but, like, you know, still two or three revisions for some people would be like, you know, whoa, right, you know, I have to do this again and again and again. But I had some time for it, and I was really dedicated to helping out to contributing to WordPress. So I followed along.
So you're at age 14, and within that time span, you did some development work. You spoke at your first WordCamp, which, by the way, what did you speak on?
Getting started with WordPress development.
Awesome. Fantastic session. And at such a young age, I'm curious, did you ever run into people inside the WordPress community that didn't take you seriously because of your age? I mean, when they discovered how young you were, maybe they didn't help you, or maybe they pointed you in the wrong direction or didn't want to bother with you instead of maybe helping you along?
No.
Well, that's a good answer. I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah, I've never, like, what you've described, I don't think I've ever had a experience where nobody has taken me seriously, especially at, like, a WordCamp or something. Everyone's taken me seriously there. So,
and with your experience I'm just curious to hear what is your perception of WordPress and its community that you've been able to interact with so far?
That it's a really creative community. It really is. And I'm always amazed to see, I'm always happy to see new people stepping into the community. And I'm always happy to see some big conversation on Twitter that's like hundreds and hundreds of people, tweets, basically going in this huge conversation. But it's always nice to, see that and to see the community working together, collaborating on, projects and big things coming up. And I'm always excited for new announcements. Like, every time I see something new on the tavern or post status, I'm always really excited. Like, these new projects could really help me out or something, or they could be really cool to just check out. I didn't try out AppPressor yet, but when I saw that at first, I'm like, that's really huge. Like, so I really like the community. I think it's really good, and I think it's very easy to come into. I found it really easy. I never had any bumps getting into the community. And then, when I first got in the community, I wasn't a developer, obviously, but I went to 2 WordCamps in like 2-3 months, and it was great. It was, for non-developers, designers, developers, of all kinds, of all minds, it was really great. And I really appreciate the community's help and how great they've been. So,
Matt Medeiros of MattReport.com wants to know when he can legally hire you. You've got people already lined up, ready to hire you.
Well, I think he can. I think 14 is a little more harder to do, but I think 15 might be okay. I'm not sure, though. I'll have to double check. I don't want to get caught by the law.
Yeah, you don't want to get caught Medeiros-ing. So do your parents understand what it is you're doing with WordPress? Do they know what WordPress is, and did they attend your session at WordCamp Minneapolis?
My parents completely understand. They're like really happy, and they're glad I've got like a really awesome hobby. And my dad's been like the one who takes me to all the WordCamps and stuff. He's been the kind of guy for that, because he knows like a lot about technology, so he completely understands, a little bit about the community. And so, and he thinks WordPress is great too. He doesn't work in the WordPress field, but both mom and dad have been great though. They've been always supportive and always helping me out. They weren't actually at the session at the WordCamp, but I mean like it wasn't anything bad. I guess I probably just, I think it was fine. I don't think it was like out of bad or anything. I think my dad just went to work somewhere else or something like that. But it's been really great. They totally understand what WordPress is. So that's the important part. I'm not doing anything secret here.
The stereotype is kids your age that get into development, it's a dark room, you get Cheeto stained fingers, you're hacking away into people's websites.
No,
like
it's not
like that. The tavern. But you're in the light, you're wearing a white hat, and you're creating plugins, and you just want to help people. So
I hate having the windows closed, Jeff.
Awesome. Sarah, do you have any questions for Nick here?
Sure. So, Nick, I was checking out your blog, and I saw that you said you spend time developing almost every single day. When do you find time to work outside of your studies?
Oh, morning or like really late evening. Like actually it is kind of every day, but like I think finals week and stuff, it's not quite that. But sometimes I do say I develop every day, but that's like sometimes, I can't really do that. But in the evening sometime after school, after homework's done and after I'm confident I'm, I can go to school tomorrow with all my studies done and stuff, then I develop and work on some stuff. So
have you got any friends at school who use WordPress as well, or what platform do they like to use for blogging?
So unfortunately, I don't have any friends who know what WordPress is. I think they might have heard of like, in the blogosphere, in the social media sphere, what WordPress is, but none of them use it. I wish I could change my like teachers to WordPress blogs, but they're all running on one big system that's funded by the school, so no, I can't do that either. But I did have one teacher, like last year, I think, when I was in eighth grade, who he had a WordPress blog from the beginning, and he was a science teacher, so it was obvious, it was really fun to like do stuff with his website. But I was able to, I helped him out for the whole year, and it was really fun, you know, like, I'd have time for it, like, he'd give me time for it in class or after class or something to just fix his website. Because I didn't even know how to develop at that point, but I had enough knowledge of, like, plugins and,
yeah,
you know, was the customizer wrong? I think so, whatever, but all that back at, or admin stuff, and I was able to help him out with posts. All of that. So that was fun. I think that's my only experience, though, with WordPress at school.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do have an iPad at school, so I can log into my blog from there.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome. So,
if you could build anything using WordPress, like if you had unlimited free time to just build something cool with WordPress, what would it be?
Oh, gosh. That's going to take some thinking, actually. Well, it used to be, like, the whole business website. Like, if you'd asked that question a few months ago, I'd be like, oh, I build a huge website for a business. And then, but now, oh, gosh, I don't know. It's kind of, I have more than one thing. One thing is that I would kind of like to try to use WordPress as a platform for something. I don't know what yet, but I'd like that. Try that whole thing. What else here? It'd be awesome to create an entire education system like my school uses with WordPress. I think some people have done that, like education blogs and stuff, but like actually run the whole system like that with custom post types and fields and stuff.
Yeah, my sister-in-law is a high school teacher, and her school has WordPress blogs for all the teachers. Right. But it's really sad because I logged in, and they were running on, like, WordPress 2.6 or something. I mean, it's something really old and scary. Right. And I felt so sad, but it's like a government contract, and they're not upgrading their network to the latest. And so my sister-in-law was like, do I have to pay more money to get the latest version of WordPress? And I was like, you shouldn't have to. It's free, you know? So
right. So yeah, it would be really cool to do that. I guess that's one thing I'd do since I'm still in school. I think that'd be neat to just do, but
yeah.
I don't know. I'll have to get back for the full answer one of these days.
I've been told, and based on what I've read, that WordPress is making inroads into the entire education vertical. And there's a number of development companies out there that are concentrating specifically on getting WordPress into the education system. So you should definitely look at that, you know, research that out. Now you said maybe you use WordPress as a platform, and on your blog, on your blog, you recently wrote a couple of thoughts on using WordPress as a platform. So what's your biggest fear of those choosing to use WordPress as their base to build products and services on top of WordPress?
Well, see, my fear yesterday, I'm still rethinking it because I'm like, I want to do a follow-up post because maybe mine is like a little not quite what I, like not worded and maybe not formatted correctly. I would say that, so on my blog, my fear was like that people have to treat their platform, if they're going to do like this huge platform project like AppPressor or, you know, Evermore, whatever, they have to treat it like a business. I think that if people don't, and if they just treat it like it's a plugin you put on WordPress.org and you don't really maintain it that much, I mean, people will, but there's always someone who may not and may not be careful with it. I just want to make sure people do the best they can with this platform and they show what WordPress is like true, what the true WordPress core can do. And I guess it's that now. I really want to do a follow-up post, but I still am like collecting all my thoughts because that was more of a post just sharing what I thought, like, about platforms as WordPress, but not exactly the fear, WordPress as a platform.
Right.
So, I don't know. I guess that's my fear, that people may not treat it, like, as they become more common and as competition rises, people may want to, like, release stuff faster and may, you know, something could go wrong. But treating it like a business, I think, is really important. Treating it like, you know, putting time from your work, if you are someone who works full-time, into the project, you know, so...
So you recently made available your on techvolts.com your first commercial WordPress theme. Yep. What was your experience like putting that together? And is that just the first of many themes that we can see from you?
First of many themes, and then there'll be plugins too. And
wait a minute. Is this your big announcement? Because you told me you had an announcement, and you saved them all for us.
Okay, so you got me there. I was gonna like. Nicely transitioned to that from this, but you just went into it now. So the first big announcement is that I've redesigned the entire website. Like, it looks completely different. And so that's my, like, biggest announcement. I just, like, if you go to techvolts.com now, I hope it's not, like, still, it shouldn't be, nothing should be wrong there, but it's all changed up now, and That was my biggest announcement. My second announcement is that there will be a plugin. I'm not sure when, but there will be. I'm still kind of working out the logistics there, but I'm just going to say now that it is coming soon. And then the second biggest announcement, maybe the biggest, I don't know, is that my next theme is going to be out, you know, probably pretty soon too, but it's going to be around podcasting. It's going to have a niche. Yep. It's going to be focused towards solving a problem, but it's going to be based around podcasting, and maybe there'll be a plugin somewhere in there. I'm not sure if I'll work. I'm not sure about that. And that's where the plugin may come in, somewhere there. But, the theme will be out soon, and it's going to be totally different than my first theme, that's for sure. And, that's the biggest announcement, is that my next theme will be around podcasting. And maybe I want to do a podcasting project, I don't know. I mean, like, themes and plugins. But, yeah.
Well, first of all, congratulations on going through with setting up your online business. You've already got a first WordPress theme to market, so that's pretty neat stuff. Yep. You know, with all the news surrounding, I'm sure you've probably read this and different mm-hmm. takes on this, WordPress commercial theme market, mm-hmm. themes being a commodity, the call for theme authors to create themes that solve real difficult problems, concentrating on niches instead of just being a be-all, for-all type of theme. What are your thoughts on all that?
With most of them, I would probably agree with the points. Like, the first theme that I was building that's on right now was supposed to be a multi-purpose theme. But after all of this started coming up, I tweaked it just a little bit, so now it's a writer's, it's more of a writer's theme. It still has some of those little things in there, and I probably should remove them now because I don't want to market it the wrong way. But, I mostly agree, you know, I don't want to make multi-purpose themes. I think I plan to have all of my upcoming themes all be niches. I don't think I want anything to be, you know, a multi-purpose theme or, you know, what you were saying, the all whatever. So,
sounds like you're heeding the advice of Chris Lemma.
I'm preaching the advice of Chris Lemma.
So that's good stuff. And whatever you do when you're making themes, if you've learned anything from Sarah and I on the Tavern, do not contribute to theme lock-in, or else we'll write about it.
Oh boy. Yeah. So and then I guess I'm probably gonna write some posts soon about how I'm gonna like. But I'll just say it now then. With the upcoming project of the podcast stuff, I'm going to try to make it more than just a theme that I'm pushing out. It's going to be really different. And that's why maybe I want to package a plugin with it, not in it, but with it to come on the side or something. And just seeing the changes in all like the business of the WordPress community, I don't know. I want to try some really new things and some really great projects in the near future. And I hope to have more announcements coming out soon regarding that. I'm just trying to get everything, all my thoughts collected to determine, to whatever, for that. So, yeah, that's all I have for now.
Cool. That's exciting. We'll be on the lookout for your announcements.
Yeah, thank you.
So the last thing I have before I let you go and we get on with our, we start celebrating the weekend, is, you know, I'm pretty impressed. You're actually, your story is somewhat inspiring because, you know, A, because of your age, and B, you picked up on it, and C, you contributed. I mean, you've done all these things that for a lot of people are just difficult to do, whether it's because they're, I don't know, introverted, or they don't know how, or they're just having a difficult time of it. So what advice can you give those that you that are in a similar position as yourself, that are maybe either brand new to the WordPress community or looking for ways to sort of get in touch with various folks in the community? Because Chris Lemma quotes the WordPress community, I consider it famous now. I always link back to it, but he considers the WordPress community to be approachable. And based on what you're telling us, that's exactly what your experience is. So what advice can you give to others in your situation?
So, one, like, this is going to be an interesting piece of advice to start off with, but I think having a mentor was really good because they kind of help you with that, you know, stepping out of your boundaries and trying some challenges. And also, I think just kind of slowly start, you know, checking out the community, comment, tweet, you know, kind of join the conversation a little bit. And yeah, even if you feel like, oh, maybe I'm antisocial and stuff, you know, try to join the community and be part of things. And, you know, if you have a project that's, you know, WordPress related, but you don't really want to show it, just try, show it to somebody. That's why having a mentor is nice. And, you know, just get in there, have a good time in the WordPress community, and, you know, start off small. Don't start off like super huge, slow. I mean, that's probably common sense, but, you know, it's probably happened before, but slowly just make your way to the community, and, you know, everyone is approachable. I talked to Matt at WordCamp Chicago 2013, no problem. So that was like one of my favorite experiences to talk about. You know, he's so approachable. So
yeah. Awesome. Awesome. That's fantastic stuff. Well, Nick, I wish you the best of luck with techvolts.com. Shockingly good WordPress products. Pretty neat tagline there. And I wish you all the best, and just a fantastic story of, I just love the fact that someone your age was able to get involved with the WordPress project and contribute to core and already accomplished as much as you have. Mm-hmm. And basically, you know, it's no sweat for you. I mean, this is just really cool. Thank you for being on the show.
Yep. It's been my pleasure.
And where can we keep tabs on you as far as product updates or your blog and maybe even your Twitter handle?
Well, if you follow me on Twitter now, I have some pretty, I have another Twitter account coming, but it's going to be pretty neat. I'm at TechVolts. That's TechVoltz. So TechVolts. And yeah, that's the best place, honestly. I'm there all the time. Ask me any more questions if you have them. Tweet at me. I'll reply most likely and with a good answer, hopefully. But yeah, that's where you can find me.
So if you need any help, advice, or whatever, feel free to email me. I'm sure, Sarah, I think you probably feel the same way. I'm willing to help you out and give you any information I can to advice to steer you in the right direction. I think you've noticed that a lot of people here in the community have your back and want to see you succeed. And, you know, all the best to you, man.
Thanks, man. It's been great.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
All right. So that was fantastic episode there with Nick of TechVolts.com. And Sarah, what are your thoughts about all that? I know it's a trend now. I don't know if you want to call it a trend, but I've noticed that many WordCamps, we've had workshops for kids. You know, we're talking between the ages of 9 and 13 maybe. And although he didn't exactly participate in one of those workshops, I mean, it's got to be inspiring to know that people of Nick's age are able to get in, get involved with WordPress, and you know, it seemed to be a piece of cake for him.
Yeah, I love that. I love that story, and it's cool how he started, you know, contributing to Core and connecting with people. And I guess it just kind of shows you the value of having a mentor to help you, you know, make it to the next level of what you're trying to do if you get stuck. So it's really great.
Awesome. And I think you're probably pretty happy to hear that when he was messing around with plugins to learn, he was playing around with the BBs.
Oh, yeah.
WordPress, BB
Press. Those are what got me excited about WordPress, too, in the first place. So I can understand that for sure.
Awesome. So that's going to do it. This is one of my favorite episodes. This is really neat. This is going to do it for this week's edition of WordPress Weekly. You can find show notes for this episode and all previous episodes on wptavern.com in the podcast category or WordPress Weekly category. We got a drop-down menu up at the top there on the site. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, that's JEFFR0. And Sarah, where can we follow you at on Twitter?
Polly Plummer, PollyPlummer.
Excelente. So until next week, we plan on having Joomla Cindy Pete, who represents and is really active in the Joomla community. That'll be really cool to sort of talk about what's going on in the Joomla sphere and see if we can't discuss similarities between WordPress and Joomla. Really looking forward to that. So until next week, and have a safe and enjoyable weekend, everybody.